Welcome to Russell on the Move, LCCC's weekly community affairs update. To keep you connected to our mission of advancing equity through empowerment of children, adults, and families of Russell and other West Louisville neighborhoods. Spend the next hour tuned in right here. Get the latest news of family services, community opportunities, businesses, and economic development, and much more. Hear from our leaders and special guests. Call in to be a part of this history-making broadcast. Join LCCC's movement to create vibrant neighborhood conditions for children, for adults, and businesses to thrive socially, academically, artistically, and economically. This is the next episode of Russell on the Move with your host, Kevin Fields. Leading with vision, educating on economic mobility, advancing equity, developing quality.
Welcome back to Russell on the Move. This is Kevin Fields, CEO with the LCCC. And again, blessed and excited to be here in the studio at WLLV to bring you another episode of Russell on the Move. We've got a big show today. I do want to start with just a moment of reflection. We had a great week last week, and our show last week focused on education, focused on summer enrichment. And we were blessed to have Kiara Troy Harbin, Destiny Chandler as our guest in the studio, having just come off of a great back-to-school bash on our campus at 1300 Ali, and also having come off of a great summer camp experience where we hosted the Evolve 502 Backpack League and the STEAM Camp. And I'm just so excited this past Sunday. And we're going to open up to our guests in a moment, but I was pleased that we were able to partner with Brother Lamont Collins and the team at Roots 101, also with Presbyterian USA, and doing the STEAM Camp experience that culminated this past Sunday at Roots with a presentation called 1963 Steel, the same shot, a brainchild of the phenomenal brother Troy Bell and his team that worked with the kids in our summer enrichment STEAM camp and just did a phenomenal job. We just wanted to celebrate that. In case you missed that show, you haven't really missed it because you can go out on our website at 13—no, that's the address. The website is at lccnews.org. You'll find a blog post, and you will also find the podcast of last week's show. And we're going to continue the conversation today because ever since last week, we know as a community that what's been trending in the news has been a lot of information in regard to Jefferson County Public Schools. And, you know, we had a problem on the first day. Some would say a debacle on the first day of school of this year. And we're going to talk about public education. But I want to set some ground rules here because we have some very distinguished special guests that are going to jump on this conversation, have a great panel, and we're going to have a great community discussion about public education. But the rule is we've heard enough complaints and enough negativity about what went wrong, and we're pleased that Superintendent Marty Polio is taking some level of ownership in terms of his responsibility and his team's responsibility. But we know that when it comes to public education, there's nothing more important than our children. And so we want to stay focused as a community on what it takes to support our kids, to support student achievement in public education, and to support our Board of Education. And we're just blessed to have leaders from the board here on our panel. Ms. Diane Porter, who is the chair of the Jefferson County Board of Education, is with us. Let me just first say good morning and thank you for being with us, Ms. Porter.
Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. And also, here in the studio with me is the distinguished Reverend Dr. Corey Shull, who also serves on the Board of Education, and we're blessed to have him as well. Good morning.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Thank you, Doc. And also, I'm excited always to collaborate with my friend and colleague, Brother Lamont Collins, the CEO at Roots 101, who's also in the studio. Good morning, Lamont.
Well, good morning, and blessed to be here.
Thank you. Thank you. We're going to have a great panel discussion today. Herbert Johnson's in the studio with me, too, our co-host. Good morning, Herb. Yeah, we're not hearing you. He's on the other side. We got a full house.
Good morning. How you doing this morning?
Doing good, Herb.
Good.
We got a full panel, and we want to just get right into it. To our listening audience, we are going to open the lines around the 30-minute mark of this conversation to give you a chance to call in with your supporting comments and encouragement to our board leaders at Jefferson County Public Schools. But also, we want to hear your insights and your suggestions as we get into our discussion. Let me just start with asking our guests to introduce themselves. They don't need an introduction. They're all well-known. But just in a tidbit, give us your intro, a little bit about your background, your roles, and starting with you, Ms. Porter.
Thank you. I am Diane Porter. I have been an educator all my life, started as a teacher, and have worked while working for the district. I was a human relations coordinator, a counselor, an assistant principal, the first female African-American principal for vocational schools. I had three vocational schools. I worked in student assignment, and then I went to central office. When I retired from JCPS, I was the director of the School to Career Office, which includes our vocational education programs. So I have been blessed to be in education, and it is always my goal to speak for our students to make sure that every child receives a quality education. So that is my life, what I have done for a very long time. I'm proud of the opportunity and extremely proud of the students that I have had along the way.
Thank you, Ms. Porter. And if you don't hear it enough, we want to start by saying thank you. And we're going to say that many times in this broadcast. Thank you for your life of dedication to public education. We know if anybody knows JCPS inside and out, it's you. And so thank you for continuing to lead in the district. Dr. Shule, you go next, please.
Yes, so I've served on the Jefferson County Board of Education for the past 5 years, and it has been an honor, a distinct joy to serve alongside of Ms. Porter and to learn from her and all of her experience in public education. I ran for the seat on the JCPS Board of Education because I believe that it's important to have voices of advocacy for all children, but particularly children that are historically marginalized and have not been centered in conversations concerning public education and public well-being. So, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I think Brother Vince, our engineer, is wanting to make sure the volume is good. So if we can get a little closer in. And Brother Lamont, if you would go. And let me just say, Lamont, it's an honor to have you here as lead of the Roots 101 African-American Museum, because you get a chance to look through the lens of African-American history every day of your life. And this conversation is intended to empower Louisville's African-American community stakeholders. But Lamont, if you would go ahead and give your introduction.
Well, my name is Lamont Collins. I'm the founder and CEO of Roots 101 African-American Museum, located at 124 North 1st Street. It's an honor to be here because, you know, the reason we even did the museum is to show kids they came from something when the world told them they came from nothing. So I have an opportunity to talk about the school system. I'm a product of Jefferson County school system. Been in Louisville all my life, graduated University of Louisville where I played football there. Had several businesses, but I'm really truly in the ministry with Roots 101 and what we're trying to give back to the community. So it's an honor to be here and to be supportive in whatever you guys do. Ms. Porter, Reverend Shull, just sitting on there. I remember, I'm old enough to remember when Mr. Ford and people like that sit on the Alderman board and sat at the Board of Education trying to change this community in the 60s. So I'm glad to be here, and it's an honor to be at this table.
Thank you. Thank you. So we're going to get right into our discussion. Our topic today is African-American community empowerment in support of Jefferson County Public Schools, and especially in support of student achievement. So we want to start with the question to our panel asking, how do you believe the African-American community stakeholders can play a greater role We know we're doing something now, but a greater role in helping to improve student achievement outcomes in the public school district. Ms. Porter, we'll start with you.
I think education is a community effort, and yes, we have a school system, but we have students and families and staff that need the support of the community to know that they are willing to be there for us, for our students. And it's amazing as you reach out, and if you've not visited a school, to see the students, how excited they are to see adults there that come to see them. So I think as a community, we can decide how we will move forward together to support education and to keep our students lifted in spirit because of the nature of the country right now. It's sometimes not happy, but students need to know, number one, they will be successful. Number two, we are here to support them by any means necessary. But I think as our community comes together to do that, it will be very helpful. I have been around long enough to know that there has been a period of time where their trust was lost with JCPS. So my goal is to build trust back again so that our community is available and for our students, and also will speak up to ask the questions as it pertains to educating our student population.
Thank you. Thank you for that. And Dr. Shule, would you add to that?
Yes, well, I think it's important and it's pivotal that the entirety of our community have its eyes focused on public education and find various ways to support individual students and as well as the district as a whole. I think everybody can do something, and we see a variety of organizations who are engaged in dynamic work to support the public education system. There are a variety of churches that are involved in providing programs and resources to assist our students and assist our public education system in moving our students forward. We have a goal as a district of closing the opportunity gap and the achievement gap to ensure the black and brown children are reading and doing mathematics at proficient levels. And we're not reaching the levels of proficiency that we know that we need to. I think that's a great place for every community organization, every church, every congregation to really press in on that goal, whether it be by providing some type of tutorial services for students in those local congregations or in those neighborhoods. Fraternities and sororities can press in by providing opportunities and services to help our students reach those goals. I think there's a variety of ways that people can be a part, particularly if they understand what the goal is.
Excellent. Thank you for that. And I want to drill down a little deeper on that in terms of, you know, roles that we can play as community stakeholders and steps that we can take. So, Lamont, you know, you're in the community as I am, and we are engaged in working with families and you know, from top to bottom, from children to adults. What steps would you recommend, not only for what we're doing, but for what other stakeholders can do to collaborate with JCPS to get, you know, more effective toward closing the achievement gap?
Well, I think expectation. I mean, we know that the school system has expectations for young people, but our role in the community is making sure our children are capable or have the opportunity to do the things they're asked to do. I love what we're doing at JCPS, but I love our community even more. We got to remember that the community we grew up with is not the community that we see now. It used to be a time if I was going to get in a fight after school, I'd never go in front of Miss Bessie's house because she's going to stop the fight.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about community as we know it, we have to be honest with each other. This is not the same community we grew up in. So in the educational realm, we have to go past the classroom, past the walls, and truly go into the communities and give our kids what they need in order to succeed. And sometimes there's accountability to that. And we have to be open enough to be strong enough to throw those things out to get the accountability with the expectations that we want from our children.
Well, and that's, you bring up a very important perspective. And I want to, us to, you know, hone in on that a little bit. You said we're not the community we used to be. How do we describe the characteristics in terms of what's different? Because I think in some cases we need to address that as a problem that needs to be solved in terms of getting back to some of the behaviors that we know were more supportive of children and education. So from your vantage point, Ms. Porter, we spend a few decades here, you know, you from a career standpoint as an educator, but also as a lifelong resident of this neighborhood. What are the differences and how does it affect, school performance, and what do we need to fix, you know, in terms of those characteristics?
I think one of the things that we will do and perhaps do more of is to be available in our communities, because school is a certain time of day. And as Dr. Shull has said, many organizations have opened the door for our students after school during the summer to make them know that there are safe places to be, that there are opportunities for them, learning opportunities, fun opportunities. And I think that because of the high violence that has hit the country, that is concerning to not only our children, but to our adults also. So it's very important for mental health for our children to feel safe and to know that there are safe places to go, that there are people that can talk to them, not only at school, but in the community and in the neighborhood. So I think that that's one of the things that the community must work on together, to know that our students are more comfortable and feel safe in the environment wherever they are, whether it's in a public school or whether it's walking the neighborhood.
Yes, you're right. I think public safety has to be addressed at a much higher level. And Dr. Shaw, I know that the board is working on policies from within. So can you touch on some of the board policy positions around school safety, bus safety, and then also what's the call to action for the community to help promote safety?
Yeah, well, I think as it relates to the community, contributing to this call for safety, it's going to truly take every single person. The reality is, if you watch the news, if you read the newspaper, you see that we have an issue with violence in our community. And unfortunately, that violence is stemming from some of our high schoolers and some of our middle schoolers even. That says to me that we have a challenge in, we talk about a sense of belonging in schools, mm-hmm. but I question if we are really fostering a sense of belonging in community. Mm-hmm. So who do these young people belong to who are hijacking cars, you know, who are buying and selling weapons, who are into all types of mischief? Who do they belong to? And the answer is they belong to all of us. So when you talk about community organizations helping the school system with safety, I think we need to start in the community, because schools are microcosms of community, which means if the community is not safe, the schools will not be safe. We have an issue with violence in our community. Yes. That's why we're seeing some of the issues with safety in our schools. And so it would be my suggestion that churches really begin to have laser focuses on the communities that surround them.
Yes.
Really getting to know the people who live in that community, really taking an interest in the children of that community. Because let's just be honest, the school system is not cannot do everything as it relates to ensuring that these young people are on the right track. We need 24-hour, 7-day-a-week help, which means that after they leave the school building, what type of communities do they go back to? And is there anyone there in those communities that are encouraging those young people to achieve, that's mentoring those young people to keep them on the right path, on the right track, that's partnering with their mothers and their fathers to ensure that they have the type of services and opportunities that they need. I think that's where the community really has to stand up now.
Yes.
So when we see things like we saw just yesterday in front of Chef Space.
Yes.
Those are, I'm pretty sure those are JCPS students, and they are citizens of this community. They're all of our children. And so how did we get there? And I think the community organizations are able to help us because they're actually in the trenches. They're from these neighborhoods and communities, and maybe even may even be related to some of these young people.
You know, your first point, you raised a question, and you gave us the answer to that question when you asked the question, whose children are they? And they, you remind me, Doc, of a question I raised, you know, and it wasn't too long ago we had the report of Dr. A. Russell Alker getting carjacked at gunpoint by an alleged 13-year-old mm-hmm. child. And, you know, that's pretty horrific. And when I heard that, the first, I could not help but the first thing coming to my mind is, whose child is that? Mm-hmm. That is a child. And so you raised the question, whose children are they? And you answer that question by saying they're all of our children. But I have to pose another question, Lamont, and I'm going to bring it to you first. Are we afraid of just this generation's children? And maybe rightfully so, because, you know, we're, and I have to say this first, I'm going to let you answer that question. We're working on this Cure Violence project with Metro Government, and I was talking to one of our associates on yesterday, who is a violence interrupter, who's boots on the ground dealing with this issue. And he explained to me that they're confronting children's 14, 15-year-old kids walking down the streets. And he said it just like this. He said they had a gun sticking out of their pocket as long as Broadway, and walking in broad daylight. And it takes a pretty brave soul to confront that, right? So the question I'm posing is, are we afraid of this generation's children?
You know, I don't know if we are, but I know some people are. That's the given. But I think we have taken the easy road out. You know, it used to be a time when I first started mentoring, we called it one-on-one mentoring, when I was VP of Big Brothers and Sisters, and you couldn't find anybody to do one-on-one mentoring. Everybody wanted to do flex mentoring, take 10 minutes with the kid, 13 minutes. And we know when we build anything, it takes time. And what I think in our community, our responsibility is not to flex anything. Even on the first day of school, we need permanent brothers every day. Who's going to step up and be that permanent brother? I think we have disconnected to a situation that knows that we need boots on the ground. We know we need accountability and responsibility, and that starts with us as a community. Now, is fear part of it? Maybe. But this is what I know for sure. If I am part of the community, then the kids are part of me. And we got to be willing to step out to make that happen, because traditionally it's always been that way. It was black men out there, black women that made sure their children were safe. And we have to get back to that point and not blame the school system on something that we can do and have accountability to. You know, I always say that we have organizations teaching kids how to make ties, but not how to hold each other in ties. So it's not about the physical making ties, it's about making ties with our children full time. And I think sometimes we take the easy way out and say, I made a relationship because I taught this young man how to tie a tie, but I never made ties with that young man. And I think we have to look in the mirror and say, how deeper are we gonna go? Yes. In order to change this community.
Yes, you know, and you know, this issue of safety won't leave us. We gotta deal with violence. We gotta deal with making sure that the schools are safe, the buses are safe, the bus stops are safe, and we gotta make sure the neighborhoods are safe, period. The public parks, everything has to be addressed. I wanna shift the focus for a moment to what happened on last Wednesday from a transportation standpoint. You know, the biggest complaint that came out of the first day of school last week was a problem with transportation, problem with kids not being transported, picked up and delivered in a timely fashion, and some getting home extremely late, which, as has been clearly stated, we don't have to harbor on that, but it is unacceptable. But let's talk about that, Ms. Porter. You've worked on school assignment, school desegregation for a long time. We know that's at the heart of the issue from a public policy standpoint. We know whenever there's a controversy, the opponents to desegregation stand up and say that's we're now, you know, you see what we're talking about. And so how does community engage in support of what the board is standing, you know, I think, in a unified manner in supporting school assignment? But at the same time, how do we address transportation? So there's a twofold question. We got the DSEG plan that we're concerned about, but we also need to make sure the transportation plan in support of that desegregation plan is working. So how do we respond to those two concerns?
I think the best way for us to respond is to ask questions and to be aware. And one of the things that we learned with the unsuccessful day one with transporting our students is, did we start the conversation soon enough after we had the material? Did we have everything in our district that we needed? We were beginning to hear that we did not have the technology that we needed at that time. But one of the things we learned with the student choice plan is that the department was available in the community in many ways, in many places, to answer questions. And I think not waiting until a week before or 2 weeks before school opens, that the questions need to be answered and everyone needs to be comfortable with the answers so that parents feel safe and comfortable and students feel safe. So now we're going to provide an app for parents to have on their phone. And I love it when people talk about smartphones, when sometimes they're smart and sometimes they're not. But the question becomes, this is a way for us to communicate to families about where the students are. But the sooner we start the conversation, the more we listen to the questions, the more we work to answer the questions, it becomes more comfortable as we move forward. And what we have learned and what the board has asked for is there will be our audit committee will be working with an outside resource to give us a step-by-step of what happened the first day of school so that can be recorded and that it will never happen again. But we are not only working within the district, we are going to bring someone in from outside the district to look through a different lens, because it should never happen again. But as a community and as families, I would like families to be comfortable to ask questions, and it's our responsibility to answer the questions.
Well said. And you know, leadership comes to question is my next question. We know that there's an issue that has to be addressed with the transportation concerns. And we've heard, as you've stated, Ms. Porter, that the district is going to invest in technology and apps and bring in more consultants. But I want to bring this to you, Dr. Shure, from this standpoint. And I'm going to do a self-reflection for a moment. I'm trained as a civil engineer, which, you know, effectively means that you should have the skills and abilities to analyze and solve problems that face humanity. And whether it be transportation, whether it be, you know, dealing with community development, community design, dealing with problems, social problems, and so forth. And I'm also a technologist. I understand the use of technology and technology equipment, but I could not be effective as a technologist if I didn't understand fundamentally what it takes to apply the technologies to solve real problems. And so when I hear the leadership deflect from a solution planning standpoint to, we're going to bring in smart technology apps and we're going to bring in consultants, it does bring the question is, how do you really wrap your head around the problem, Mr. Superintendent? And this is not about dumping on Marty Polio, but this is about analyzing leadership. how do you wrap your head around the problem in a way that you can really fundamentally address it? Because long before there was computer apps, there was problems that needed to be solved, and we had to have leaders to figure out solutions to those problems. So the simple part of the question, Dr. Shule, is how confident can you as a board member how much confidence do you have that the leadership really understands fundamentally how to address these problems that we're facing?
Well, I can't answer that question on the radio.
Yeah, okay.
No, what I can say is I think that the superintendent and his staff understands the dire circumstances and the dire straits that their lack of foresight and engagement with the potential problems of the system as it was implemented would produce. And as a consequence, I think that they are willing to invite the partnership of anybody who has the skills to really cut through the issues and find a way to solutions that they can. I don't know if they're able to do that by themselves and on their own. I don't even know that they should because, for instance, Dr. Polio is not a civil engineer. He's an educator. Mm-hmm. And so one of the points of pushback and criticism that the board has received is the board should have, known better than this, or the board should have looked at the routes, or the board should have taken a deep dive into Alpha Route and the routes that they had previously constructed. The reality is that no one on the board does routes for a living. There are no civil engineers on the board. We looked at, the materials that we were given to look at, and we made the decision that, seemed best to us and that was kind of pitched to us by the administration. And so I guess there's a part of me that is really encouraged that Dr. Polio is reaching beyond his administrative team, which is a team of educators, to people who have a expertise in an area that is just really not the expertise of the educators who are employed by the district and whose offices are in Van Hoos. And so I'm confident, and I think one of the points of having multiple intelligences is knowing where your expertise ends and knowing when to reach out to other people who are able to help. So, the controversy surrounding Alpha Route, people are saying it's a terrible company and we should never use them. Well, when we heard the report of the superintendent on Tuesday night, he made it clear it wasn't Alpha Routes that were the problem. It was JCPS adding to what Alpha Route had already given them at the beginning of July that caused the problem. So, it's going to take some people with more incisive minds and expertise in these type of issues to really lead us out of this dilemma.
Thank you for that. And I don't mean to put you guys on the spot, so
I don't know.
I will refrain from asking direct pointed questions. But Ms. Porter, I'll bring this to you just to see if you...
Can I say something real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think, like Reverend Shule said, that wasn't their criteria. But if we talk about packages and we talk about young people being packages, commodities, we have UPS Hub right here.
Mm-hmm.
We have Amazon Hub right here. So we had people that did logistics on a daily basis in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody reached out to those people because it wasn't part of the process of grant writing or job qualifications. But Louisville has resources.
Yes.
And if we think about what UPS does on a daily basis, your biggest expert was sitting at the table of UPS and say, what do you think, or how can you help us in this process? And I think now people will go back and do that. But you have the king of moving everything. And if kids are our commodity, our special packages, why wouldn't I talk to UPS about how they do stuff in 24 hours a day, 365 days a year?
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And I think that's well stated. And I think Ms. Porter's point about, you know, having asked questions and brought together those solutions earlier was kind of an expectation. And I guess my questions going forward is about not so much, you know, why do we have a problem last week, but what do we do going forward? And how can we support the district, even if it's in an advisory capacity? And so a part of that, Ms. Porter, is I know that there will be expertise brought to the table to help Dr. Polio and his team to sort through these issues. And as an administrator, I just have beliefs because I've been administering for 40 years. I just have beliefs that when you contract with any entity for any service, you have to be crystal clear on what the deliverables are from the beginning. Otherwise, you get into, you know, kind of you're chasing after a vision without having clear specs on how you're going to get there. And so from a policymaking standpoint, what does the board see in terms of solving these issues? And we know that more problems need to be addressed and more resources need to be brought to bear. More expertise needs to be contracted with. But how does the district assure that that's done effectively?
Is that for me?
Yes.
Okay. I think what the district has learned from what has just happened to us is, yes, it's important to reach out to organizations for advice and for expertise. But just because you reach out, after you reach out, we need to do research to make sure that we've reached out to an organization that has been successful in the work that they have done. We also need to look within the district as we talk about the work that needs to be done on a daily basis to make sure those that have jobs have the credentials to do the work. As you say, I am an educator. I am not over transportation, but there are people that to be hired that know transportation and know technology, and we just cannot take it for granted any longer based on what has happened to us. We have got to do our homework with whoever we bring in to work with us. We have to prove and to look at what they have done for other districts, other organizations, to see how they can impact the work. And contract has to be absolutely specific as to what's going to happen. And I think that too often we say, oh, well, that's a nice person. They can take care of it. We can't continue to work like that. We've got to have people with the background, with the criteria, with the smarts to make sure that the things are in place will be productive. But again, whoever we bring in, we have to bring in the right people, and we have to have people that have the criteria and the credentials to do the work. And then we have to sit back, discuss it, and evaluate it, and don't wait until the last minute.
And if I might add to that, sure. Mr. Field,
sure.
You know, I think as we talk about the ways that the community can press in and be of assistance, one point of advocacy that I believe that the community can really champion is ensuring that the right people are hired for these certain positions. We have a tendency to kind of sit back until something happens.
Yes.
And, you know, we don't always keep our eye on who's being hired for these pivotal positions. And so I think that's a place where the community can make their voices heard. Also, I think it's been a great point, people talking about Amazon, people talking about UPS, but we did not hear any of those suggestions when we were undergoing forums throughout the city asking about this plan. Mm-hmm. You know, now what we heard a lot was, we don't like the staggered start times.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that over and over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
I did not hear, and I'm speaking to me about me personally, my engagement with constituents. I didn't hear anything about Alpha Route. I didn't hear anything about the routes as they were. Over the last 4 or 5 weeks,
mm-hmm.
I've had some comments about the distances that students were having to walk to the bus stop. But mm-hmm. that was all, and that was really more so in the 2 weeks leading up to school.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think that as it relates to the community being an assistance in us achieving our goals with public education, we really need the community to be a part of the planning process.
Yes.
Which means when you see those forms, when you have those surveys that come to your email box, that when you see notices of meetings that are on the way, that's the time to not only listen to what the district is planning to do, but to offer suggestions about how the district could potentially do it better. Because I don't think anybody thought about UPS until after the debacle last week. And it would have been so much more helpful had, you know, people, you know, been engaged earlier to say, hey, before you all hire Alpha Route, have you thought about using UPS to do your routing? Mm-hmm. And possibly that would have been a welcomed incentive or a welcome addition to this plan.
Excellent. You know, folks, we went past our normal break, but I do want to take a short break, Brother Vince, and we're going to open up the lines. We've had a great conversation. I do want to thank our panel for hanging with us during this hour. But we're going to take a short break. We'll be back after 1 minute, and we're going to open up the lines. When we come back, you can call in with questions or comments. The number here is 502-571-1240.
This is Kiara Troy Harbin at LCCC. Are you looking for engaging and enriching after-school programs for your child? Look no further. We're excited to introduce our incredible lineup of after-school opportunities that cater to every child's interests and needs. Discover the world of creativity with our Kids Arts Academy, where young minds can explore visual arts, music, dance, and more. Our dedicated instructors will nurture your child's artistic talents and help them shine. Does your child need that extra boost in academics? Our academic coaching program is here to guide them towards success. With personalized attention, we'll help them achieve their academic goals and build the skills they need to excel. For the teenagers who want to make a difference, our Teen Leadership Council is the perfect platform. For the teenagers who want to make a difference, our Teen Leadership Council is the perfect platform. They'll learn leadership skills, community involvement, and teamwork, setting them on the path to becoming confident and responsible individuals. Enroll your child today and watch them grow in a supportive and inspiring environment. Don't miss out on this opportunity. Call us at 502-583-8821. Again, that is 502-583-8821 to secure their spot.
Are you ready to make a real impact in your community? Look no further than AmeriCorps Vista's Russell Neighborhood Capacity Building Project at LCCC. Become a Vista Community Impact Ambassador. Become a catalyst for positive change. Picture yourself working hand-in-hand with local leaders, organizations, and residents to empower the Russell neighborhood. As a Vista volunteer, you'll play a vital role in creating lasting solutions to address poverty and inequality. Your dedication will help build a stronger, more vibrant community for everyone. Make a difference, make connections, and make memories that will last a lifetime. Join the AmeriCorps Vista team at LCCC's Russell Neighborhood Capacity Building Project today. Visit our website at lcccnews.org to learn more and apply. Be the change you want to see in the world. Become AmeriCorps Vista Community Impact Ambassador, where your passions meet action.
The third annual African American Golf Expo and Forum is being held August 19th through the 22nd in Louisville, Kentucky. AAGolfExpo.com for more details.
The African American Golf and Expo Forum is organized by Jim Beatty Golf Ventures and the African American Golfers Digest.
Dedicated to golf instruction, merchandise, history, education, and jobs for everyone. Day one.
The Shawnee Golf Course has its first tee program. Youth golfers, adaptive golfers. There will also be a kid marketplace.
Day two.
Come to the Oxmoor Country Club for the Jim Beatty Invitational and participate in the Three Holes in One contest, Longest Drive, and CTP contest. There'll be a cigar experience and unique hole activation.
Then get over to the Gold House for days three and four.
Because there'll be education forums, an exhibition hall, marketplace, a fashion show, a movie premiere, career fair, and a health fair.
Sponsored by Golf Digest, Golf Pride, Invited Clubs, Heaven Hill Brands, Louisville Tourism, EbonyGreens.com, EbonyGreensTM.
And welcome back, folks. we want to entertain your questions or comments from the community, and we just have a few minutes. We're also going to let our guest panel have closing remarks during this next segment. So the lines are open. You can reach us here, 571-1240. Until we hear from you, we're going to keep our conversation going with our guest panel. This has been a great discussion, and we know the issues that we're discussing are very complex. They're not simple, and nobody should think otherwise. You know, it takes a lot to run a large school district. It takes a lot to run a school building, one school building, let alone dozens and 100,000 children. But here we are, and I'd like to for us to stay focused on the kids, stay focused on student achievement, stay focused on the fact that there is a persistent gap in the outcomes of student achievement. And we as a community have to know that there are solutions to even these longstanding, complex, persistent problems. So we want to hear on that side of the argument, what do we need to do better with the kids? Lamont, you were with us. We partnered up over the summer with our STEAM camp, and we have a big success story that we want to talk about with having 15 children in an 8-week experience, very young children, as young as 6 years old as maybe 11 or 12. And this past Sunday, the culmination of that camp happened at Roots 101. And I would just like for you to testify on what you felt having witnessed and been part of it, but the presentation itself, what did that instill in you?
Well, it did everything for me. It showed Black excellence. It showed young people first understanding their history. 63 was about the shot of Black leaders we lost at that time in space. And a lot of things kids didn't even know. They don't know who Malcolm X is. They didn't know who Eldridge Cleaver was.
Medgar Evers.
They didn't know that. So that's one reason I have Roots 101. But to watch these young people come in, get the education, and I always say when kids are filled with their story, they walk different, they talk different, they become different. And you saw all those kids at the end of the camp, knowing their history and knowing what they came from, is what they're going to be now. And I think that was the coolest thing about the partnership. And we had its own video, its own record, and we'll keep that record going. And it can get bigger than what it is. But the coolest thing was we were dealing with Black excellence. And the kids knew that's their expectation was to get there. And they were accountable to what we asked them to do. So it was a great day.
Yeah, and I witnessed that excellence. And I'll tell this quick story. Troy Bell, who directed the arts part of the camp, put the kids out there and told them that they were movie stars because, as you stated, there was a documentary of their summer experience that it's a really major motion picture. But when Troy told them they were movie stars and told them to get their autographs, I witnessed one little girl who was visiting with her family after the reception, during the reception, and said to her mom, "I'm sorry, I got to go back and finish my job. I got to take more autographs. I'm a star." You know, and so when you can instill that level of confidence in a young person, it changes their mindset about who they are. It changes a mindset about what they can do. And I'm just a firm believer that student achievement starts with the frame of mind that the children are in about who they are and how they can learn. And Ms. Porter, I know nobody's a bigger champion of students in this community than you, because you speak about it from your chair role. Can you help our community to understand what do you see and what's your call to action for us in terms of helping to turn out these children? Because we know they're brilliant, but how do we bring out that brilliance in them?
We bring out their brilliance by constantly letting them know that they're brilliant. You just gave the story of an actress, and she stepped away to go sign autographs. And our students listen to us, and they need that kind of encouragement. And as it pertains to the history of Louisville, Kentucky, and one of the things that we have learned since I have been on the board, that over time, as we have put schools together, we have push the names of some of the schools away. We're not doing that anymore. So therefore, when we opened our new elementary school named for Dr. Perry, the library in that school is Phyllis Wheatley, because Phyllis Wheatley and Perry came together to come a school. But one of the things that we know, and I have shared, as students come in and look at pictures and things like that, I was asked, will they know who they're looking at? Not necessarily, but they will ask, and they will learn the history of the neighborhood. And what's important for them to know is the heritage and how they got here, but also to keep the history alive for our students. Also to consistently let students know that they are very smart, that they are going to do very well. And yes, sometimes things back up a little bit, but in backing it up, we move it forward. Recently had a text from one of my students who said that I had known her since she was 10 years old and that I was focused on her success. And she is a successful adult. And it's what you say. Students know whether you mean it or not. They can feel your sincerity. And so whatever we can do to continue to encourage, based on the climate of the culture of the country right now and of the city, our students will be successful. And I grew up during a time, not telling my age, but back in the day, we were defined based on our zip code. And that was the wrong thing to do. But what I say to people now is, back in the day, because of my zip code, 40211, there were some questions as to whether we could learn or not. Well, guess what? We did learn, and we're here to make sure others learn now.
Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. Brother Herbert, I know you're over there, and I want to put you on the spot for a minute, because you and I have been friends for a long time, and we've talked about this whole school busing, and just to put you on the spot, I know you were never a big proponent of the whole busing concern, really? But here we are, and I'd like to get your voice in, comments, questions.
Well, Kevin, you know, my opinion has always been, you know, community is very important as far as education. So busing, whether it was right or wrong, I just felt at the time that taking us apart, separating us from school and community was not a good thing. That's my opinion. It was my opinion 40 years ago. So, you know, whether it's right or wrong, I think TPS is approaching the issue. And, you know, the most important thing is, you know, education, as I always said, is the vaccine to any community problem. And the conversation today has been about education, been about some of the issues that have occurred in the school system. And that's what we call education. So, you know, let's just keep doing having that conversation, and we should, you know, resolve some of the problems. I don't know if busing is good or bad, or, you know, what you know, the new term they have for it, but neighborhood schooling or whatever. But I did see a difference in when you and I went to school versus the way it is now, and it was the lack of community. So I will say one other thing, you know, from the leadership that we got here today, you know, Psalms 12:7 says one thing, you know, steadfast. And then you guys are doing that. And I mean, you know, listen to the community, ask the questions, and you resolve the problems. The answer's in the people.
Thank you, Brother Herbert.
All right.
And you're right. It, you know, no matter what the scenario, there's going to be ups and downs, and there's going to be, you know, trials and tribulations, debacles. But we got to stay focused on education. It's all about educating the children, Dr. Sherrill. And I think that's the thing we want to stress from a community standpoint. And we can't give up on our children. We can't give up on them, because guess what? If we live long enough, they will become adults, and we're going to be depending on them. And so we've got to stay focused on them. So how do we make sure our community knows that, from your standpoint, Dr. Shore, the importance of staying focused on educating our children?
I think that how do we help our community stay focused on that? You know, if the news doesn't help them, if the Courier Journal doesn't help them, if us walking or riding down the street and you see some young people off to the side of the street. If it doesn't, if at every turn you are not reminded that we must center our children in this community, then I don't know what can be said or what can be done that will help the community understand what the real need is and what the real issue is. The question that I think every community organization ought to ask at every one of their meetings is, how are the children? And if we can't answer that question by saying all of the children are doing exceptional, then that means we still have a lot of work to do. And so my challenge would be that, and I know that we, you know, we love a good day party in Louisville. We love a good gala and ball. We love to do all of those type of things. But we don't need to allow those things to take priority over the cultivation of our children. And I think if the entirety of the community really puts their hands on deck to rescue our children, that we'll see the news headlines change, we'll see academic achievement increase, and that we'll have a brighter future.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you, guys. This has been a great hour. You know, the time flies when you're, you know, deep in thought and deep in subject. And this has been a great conversation. We're going to have enough time for a closing comment from each one of our distinguished panelists. And Brother Lamont, I'll start with you.
Well, we talked about Black excellence, but we can't talk about Black excellence. We have to demand Black excellence. So that means that we have to be accountable to tell kids what that looks like, what that is, and collectively move kids to that level. So if I know in Black college, we know that it's not the education, it's the atmosphere that they're doing the education in and how they grow from that atmosphere. We have to be willing to plant the shade tree. You know, I always say the greatest king plants shade trees knowing he'll never set up under them. We have to be willing to set up shade trees in our community knowing we won't set up under them, but that shade tree will be there for them. We have to plant in our community.
Amen. I agree with that. Dr. Shull, closing remarks?
Let's keep our focus on our children. Let's keep the focus on public education and recognize that when we all work together, we will arrive together. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you. And Ms. Porter, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Shull. Thank you, Lamont Collins. And Ms. Porter, we open with you, and we want to close with you with your closing comments.
Thank you. I would like to close with the thought that the community working together will make public education exceptional. One of the things that we can never stop doing is to look closely at the equity for all students, because years ago we went to court because there was no equity in parts of the city. So as we move forward with the plan for teaching our students, providing opportunities for our students, we as adults need to be focused on and ask questions to make sure that there will be no equity issues. Every child can learn. The question is how we will provide the opportunity for them to learn, and don't use excuses as to why not. They will learn. It's my mission to make sure that every child has the opportunity, but we will be more successful as a community working together for the good of our children and for the good of public education. I am convinced that we can do it and we will do it. And I am blessed to be here, and I will not stop talking about the importance of our children and the education and taking care of our families when needed. People need help, so let's make sure we're doing everything and stop putting words out there as to why students won't learn. If we know what it is, deal with it, and let's make sure that our children are learning.
Thank you. We hear it clearly. We have our orders. That's going to wrap up this segment, but we're going to keep this conversation going on a public education. There's nothing more important than educating our kids. We talk about economic empowerment a lot, but that begins with education. We're going to just wrap up with just a couple of short announcements. Next week's show, we'll begin the process of rolling out our plans for our 75th anniversary celebration. We've got an event that's coming up in September. celebrating our 75th Founders Day at LCCC. You'll be hearing more details from the leader of that, Dr. Valerie Washington, who is the senior pastor of Hewlett Temple AME Zion, is our chair of that planning process. She'll be in the studio with us next week. We're also going to be having several upcoming events. Our Skill Up technology skills training has its next cohort beginning the 14th, and I guess that's already begun. We're meeting Mondays through and Wednesdays, 5 o'clock. If you're interested in getting into that Skill Up course, you can contact us at 583-8821. Our Kids Art Academy is recruiting for free after-school programs beginning in September that operate Monday through Friday. Please contact Kiara Troy Harbin, again, at that same number, 583-8821. PNC Bank is doing a workshop series for entrepreneurs, and that's happening September 7th through November 16th. Enrollments are open. You can contact Zyberia Perrier at the same number, and she'll get you signed up. And then lastly, you're going to be hearing us talk a lot about our plans for our 7th Annual Economic Mobility Summit coming up in October. We'll be rolling out those plans pretty soon. This show will be curated in a blog post and a podcast that you can find on lccnews.org. I just, again, want to thank our distinguished panel and congratulate you. And we pray for your health and safety as you continue to carry out your leadership role that you have been ordained to carry out on behalf of our community. And I just want to say thank you for all that you do. And to our community and to our listeners, we'll be back next week, same time. Until then, be blessed and stay safe. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Russell on the Move, LCCC's weekly affairs update on Russell and surrounding neighborhoods in West Louisville. We hope you enjoyed our show and took away news you can use to help lift your spirits and increase your prosperity. Join us next week as we continue our mission, equity advancement and community empowerment. For now, be safe, be blessed. Until we meet again, the LCCC, leading with vision, educating on economic mobility, advancing equity, developing quality.